Praise God. I love it when I see people that are motivated to improve their lives, because the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. Yeah, it's the truth. We fell, you know, some things you fall into. There is a little bit of sanctified serendipity that happens sometimes in our lives, in church, out of church. And it dawned on us, and Brother Scott helped me see this, and then I even added to what he saw when he realized, as he heard the names that we were going to feature on this particular panel, and we've changed it up quite a bit. You've heard some amazing insights. You know, one insight that you choose to own can change your life. One insight. So he helped me understand that all the men that we had chosen for this panel have been youth leaders or youth presidents, youth pastors. So I thought, wow, that's remarkable. What he didn't probably think at that time was even the moderator was a youth pastor. So very, very exclusive group here. We could call it the communion of pain. No, I'm teasing. Actually, what a great privilege to be trusted with youth ministry. And one of the beautiful things that we saw last week is when I asked them about is exhaustion. Has that been a part of your experience? And if it has, what did you do? How many of you know that once in a while you just get worn out? Okay. So it's nice to have some things you can do. I want to read a scripture from Luke 8:15, which would seem to apply to this kind of ministry, but that on the good ground, okay, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. See, not just hear it, but own it, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. I would like to make a suggestion about the spelling of patience. I think it should be spelled P-A-Y hyphen T-I-E-N-C-E, because you always pay for it, because tribulation worketh patience, and that's why many of us do not pray for it, because we're not ready for a fresh batch of tribulation. Okay, so anyway, youth ministry is all about patience. Actually, any ministry worth its name is about patience, being patient. And hurry up, God. I need some patience. Hurry up and give me some, would you? Blessed paradox. I'm going to start off with an opening bonus question, okay? This is not officially supposed to be in the collection. By the way, we might stop somewhere and say, do we have a question from the congregation? So you might be thinking out there, what if I was able to ask three or four youth leaders a question about their type of ministry, what would that question be? And we just might give you a chance to voice that. Here's their opening bonus question. Did you feel a call from God to do youth ministry? Or was it simply just sort of a burden you felt? Or was it merely, God forbid, but this does happen, merely the fact that the church needed a youth leader and you just happened to be hanging around? Let's see, who would like to take it? Of course, over here is Brother Tim.
They're going to let me start this one. This is good. I personally did not feel a burden for the youth ministry, nor did I ever think I would be a youth leader. It was an opening that I happened to be available to fill. But I did it because I realized that it is a very vital ministry in the church. Youth ministry is very vital. I mean, if you don't have a youth ministry, you don't have leaders growing up to lead the church, plain and simple. So it really is, and I saw that with a little bit of help from a coach that I have, helped me to see that it's a vital ministry that needed to be filled, and somebody needed to do it, and I was the guy he felt that needed to do it.
We won't say what that coach's name is or what.
No, okay. All names are kept out of this. Yeah. But I did it I'm glad I did it. I will say that it really did enrich my life. It fulfilled things that I didn't think it would ever. It's hard to explain really what
you know. What
does.
Here's a spin-off. Enlarge on that, because that's not in my questions, but that's an amazing statement you just made, that it fulfilled, that there was a satisfaction in it.
So I really truly believe, you know, God gives different people different gifts. And I really do believe that he has given me a heart for people, if I can say it that way. Like a tenderness for people.
Yes.
Well, youth, you got to have a really tender heart, because they have a lot of needs. I love them. And I had one, you know, my daughter was in the youth group when I was a youth leader, so I know what it's like to the battles that you go through as parents. So I gotta hang on a second. I got a really bad ring in here. It's hard to concentrate. You know, when you're the sound guy, you don't ever hear this up here. And then I tell you what, it's hard to speak when you hear this. Pastor does a really good job, because he goes right on and doesn't even let it affect him. That's called concentration, buddy. He's got it. But the young people, when I did it, it fulfilled a part of me that, I guess how I would explain it, when I was in the youth group, when I was a kid, that's literally like the only thing that I remember. Now, I'm just being honest with everybody, that I remember of church as a youngster. I don't remember people. I don't even remember who my youth leader was, but I remember the times. I can remember, what's the big one they do in midwinter? I can remember a couple of midwinters still to this day, and that was a long time ago. But that's the stuff that I remember growing up. We had a boys' club in our church where the boys went out in the summer once a month and did an overnight thing. And I can remember a lot of those, because it was like me, and as an adult, I like fellowship, as Pastor says. You have to have that fellowship, because it fulfills something that you need. You need fellowship.
Yes.
Well, as a young person, that's the only thing that I can remember is all that. So when I got to be in that role as a youth leader, I really do believe that there's a lot of memories that I have from the things that we did as the youth trips that we did, that I know down the road. I even had, every once in a while I hear from some of the old youth, and they'll say, hey, you remember when we did this? And it clicks every time they do it. It fulfills your heart, because they are going to remember that for the rest of their life. And I hope they remember the good stuff and not the bad, but... Because everybody makes mistakes. Even youth leaders make mistakes, just so you know.
Pastors, all of us.
Yes.
We
yes.
do. But I have enjoyed hearing Tim talk about this fulfillment side. This is something about ministry that I love, in that, yes, ministry's work. Somebody said the thing about work, it's so daily. Yeah. It is a four-letter word, and it's so daily. But something about ministry, when you get involved in ministry, especially youth ministry, it is so satisfying and fulfilling. Tiffany, if she didn't have her hands full right now, she could probably preach about this. I know she could. But that is a delightful comment, and that's why I wanted to sort of ride the surfboard on that one, that wave. Brother Sievert, Brother Scott, our present youth leader, president, he might want to ride that wave too, just a little bit. But can you catch that wave, Brother Scott? Again, answer that. If you want to go back to the original question, did you feel a call from God to do this ministry? Or was it simply like a general burden you felt, or a slot that just simply needed to be filled and you were not far away?
So, I'm sorry, I can handle like a one-part question, so I'm Jess knows this. I'm like, I will do my best with that question. I actually did feel a call to youth ministry, or I definitely felt a burden. There's a little bit of confusion around it, because I was like brand new in church. I was maybe in church like a year or two, but I can. Well, if I did some research, I could tell you the day, because we had four young people get the Holy Ghost. The youngest of which I think was like five, and she was just an itty bitty thing. She's at least 18 now. If you want to do the math on that. So this was a while ago. And I didn't know what was going on. I'm the kind of person where, if I lay down, I am asleep. Whether I intend to be asleep or not, I'm just going to be out. And I couldn't sleep, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. And I think probably Jess was like, I don't know, go pray. And I'm like, all right. again, like, you know, I'm brand new in church. Like, I don't know what's going on. And what it was God put a burden on my heart, and it was like, I couldn't make sense of it. It was like, who is there for these kids? Somebody needs to be there for these kids. And like I said, I knew nothing about nothing, but I talked to my pastor sometime shortly after that, and I was like, hey, I want to be involved. I want to do something. And I slowly got more and more involved in youth ministry. And I fell in love with it, and I was like, this fits this feeling that I was feeling. And like I said, you know, maybe if I was in church for a decade or something, I would be like, oh, God has called me to youth ministry. I know exactly what this is. And but I didn't know. I just knew that God had put these young people on my heart. And you know, I
can
I ran
t- can I add this as a moderator? Mm-hmm. You can't manufacture a burden. And brothers and sisters, if you will follow the burden that God puts in your heart, there is no substitute for it. You can't go buy a burden at Walmart or Myers, okay? It's a Holy Ghost thing. Listen to it, because it probably carries the purposes and prophecy of your future. I felt the Holy Ghost on that. Lift your hand right now, would you? Just Jesus' name. The purposes, Lord. Let the purposes of the Holy Ghost be manifested in us. Let the purposes, Lord, let the burden of the Almighty be a choice delight, Lord, be something we thank you for and walk in great gratefulness. Wonderful God, let it be so, I pray. Let it be so. Somebody's going to get a hold of a burden here this night, and you will live to tell about it and walk in it, and you'll see the hand of God manifested because you chose to step into his harness. Back to you, Brother Scott.
Oh, good, because I thought of something while we were praying, too. So the beginnings of all this was a while ago, so parts of it are coming to my memory. When this was happening, I worked at a call center doing tech support, and I was falling into a depression for a while. And it was because I was like, everything I do is so pointless. If you've ever had somebody like scream and cuss you out because their internet isn't working, like, and you're like, oh, like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, and it just like day in and day out of that. And I'm like, man, like, what am I doing with my life? I'm like, I have no purpose. I'm not. Fixing people's internet is not making any sort of real impact on the world. And it put me in a depression for so long. And it wasn't like it didn't click right away. But after God gave me this burden, after I started working with the young people, and I remember, you know, the first time we had like a youth event at our apartment. We were not officially youth leaders. We were hosting something, and at the end of it, we were like, "Well, that was exhausting, a little fun, but let's never do that again." but it after a while, I realized like, "Hey, working with these young people, like this is doing something of eternal impact. This is changing lives. This is something." And I didn't have that emptiness. And, you know, I don't want to be like cliche, like I had a youth ministry size hole in my heart or whatever, but I knew I wasn't doing anything of great significance. But then God gave me a burden. God gave me a passion, and that fulfilled that in my life.
Oh, my. There's an anointing up here. I don't know if you can feel this, but I can feel something moving up here. Seriously. And it's on them. It's on us youth leaders up here. Must be the mercy of God. So here's a bonus question for the church. You didn't know that I'd do it this early, did you? You didn't even know that I'd give you a bonus question. How long do you think the average apostolic youth leader lasts in their tenure of ministry? Who said that? You said that because I told you the answer. You did. Yes. Somebody said, yes, I shared it with several people, and I believe you were one of them. But no, you were probably working in a word of knowledge, Sister Jess, truth be known. But you know, most people guess, oh, probably several years. You know, a few years, but she's right on. I mean, cue card or no cue card, she's probably just moving in the spirit. 9 months is not very long. Why? Okay, so here's another bonus question. Why only 9 months? Because they wear out in 9 months, which makes me want to say, what can I do to be the wind beneath your wings? How can I lift you, bless you, encourage you, inspire you, pray over you, and tell you how valuable you are to the local kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we tell our youth leaders enough. Thank you, Sister Jess. That's awesome. You're probably not one of them I even told that. You just were sensitive to the... We're going to need to use you when we pray over the sick to move in that word of knowledge, you know. Be sensitive. But most folks think it's years. It's not. It's 9 months. Last report of the research they did on that, which tells us something, okay, that there is a great, like, C.R. Free, famous evangelist, pastor, extraordinaire, said you only have so many units of virtue. And after they're spent, they're spent. So we need to be covering our youth leaders, brother and sister Siever, with special prayer and protections, because it can be one of the most exhausting, but also, as Brother Tim said, fulfilling ministries that you can be involved in. So here's my next question for the panel. Did you, and I'll let anybody, this is wide open, okay, probably time for us to hear from Josh. Did you, you know what, we didn't let you answer the first question, brother. We got so wrapped up and so anointed here. Let's, I don't know if that's spelled annoy, like anointed, okay. Did you, hey Josh, I want to hear what he says about this. Did you feel a call from God when you got into this kind of work, you and Tiff, or did you... You just simply a general burden, or was it just a slot that?
Well, I'm the third generation youth minister in my family, so my grandfather was at Calvary when that was just basically Calvary in Columbus, and I think 19 pastors came out from underneath that were in his youth group. And then my dad, how many of you were underneath my dad as a youth pastor?
Oh, my goodness.
So many of you here, and we were, on my dad's, I think he was great, you know, he was awesome. And as a youth pastor, and always was there for us and stuff, and many fond memories. And so for me, I was always around it. And but I don't know if there was a certain day or anything like that, but coming out of Bible college, I was asked to go down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and that's where my youth ministry's time began, and that's where my wife and all kinds of stuff. So, but I don't know if there was a certain day, I would say, but it's just like I said last week, exposure breeds a burden. I was always around it.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I was always around, so it became a burden to me because I saw the impact it made on my life, and I don't think it's ironic that three of them are here that might father, you know, had an influence on. So, you know, it's a work that you get to see a great harvest from, and I've been honored now that I know the Welches. I was youth pastor for their daughter and some of the other ones in here that I was a youth pastor. Even maybe for your grandkids. Yeah, your grandkids, Steve. I got to baptize Steven, so, and he was a challenge, man. We finally got him in the water, though. But Steven was great. But it's just it's a reward, you know, to have that opportunity. And so it was always in me, I guess.
Beautiful. Again, notice the words that these guys are using. This is not in our notes. They're using the word like fulfillment, reward. Stuff like this is just really a wonderful thing for us to hear. Here's a question for the whole panel. Anybody can go for it. Did you have any misconceptions about youth ministries that got quickly corrected as you got involved? You know, the single man, right? Single man that had all these theories, six theories about how to raise kids. Then he got married, had six kids and no theories. Right? So it's amazing how that theory has disappeared. But so maybe some misconception or an idea about it. Like, it's almost like parenting. Parenting looks really easy, like 100 miles away, you know, when you're not a parent. But when you're a parent, all of a sudden you discover, oh, my lands, I am now reaping a harvest. I'm reaping a harvest that I have sown. People sow wild oats all week long, go to church and pray for a crop failure. You know, help me, Jesus. Okay. So, all right. Was there any misconception or an idea that you had about it that as you worked in it, it kind of evaporated and something else took its place called wisdom or insight? Brother Tim.
They're letting me go first tonight. Okay. I'll take it, though. I guess, I don't know if you would call it a misconception, but I got a whole lot more into the personal lives of the youth people and their problems and having to deal with them myself that I would have never thought that I would have. And Pastor can attest to this because he was my pastor the whole time. There was a couple that I can think, well, yeah, there was a couple of them that there were some problems that I never thought that I would have to be in the middle of and deal with. And it was a lot of different times, put it to you that way. So, as I was saying before, everybody makes mistakes.
Oh, sure.
And kids seem to make more mistakes daily, I guess you could say. I think that's where when Jesus was talking to them about how many times to forgive a brother in a day, he had kids in mind.
Well, that's a new insight. Wow.
But, you know, so that one of the misconceptions, I would have never thought going into it that I would have been so deeply involved with all the issues in some young people's lives. It really, to me, was like, okay, wait, why am I dealing with this and not parents? I mean, it's, but you will deal with that more when you deal with parents that are not in church, too. You will deal with more issues and that. That was in one of the instances. But that was my intake on that.
All right. Anybody else on the panel? Any misconceptions or erroneous, like, ideas about youth ministry that sort of, like, evaporated as you worked in the ministry?
I guess when I... Well, okay, so as I came into church, you know, I knew nothing. So I didn't... I feel like I maybe had a little bit less misconceptions than if I would have gone through a youth group first. But I think one of the things that I ran into a little bit, and I feel like is probably a big reason for this 9-month average, is you look at the youth group from afar and you see fun activities, you see, you know, bonfires, and you see... we do crazy things, throwing water balloons and making messes and making more messes, a whole lot of making messes. And it just looks like, you know, a fun thing and then another fun thing and then going out of town for a fun thing. And every one of those fun things is work and work and work and then fun and then work and then work and then work and then like... interceding and some more work. And it, I think probably the, you know, the biggest misconception is, you know, it's not all fun and games. It's not like let's have a Bible lesson and let's play some games and then go home and forget about the kids for the next 3 days until we see them at church again. Because, you know, like Tim was saying, like it is a daily part of your life. You are in their lives. You are in their drama. You are trying to help them out with all sorts of things that you're not qualified for, especially, you know, just being like in your early 20s or whatever. You're like, I don't know, like I'm 22. I don't know how to raise a 16-year-old. Like, like I was your age just like a minute ago. Like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. Suddenly you're the authority and you need to.
Yeah, this is probably why youth leaders need that prayer coverage that I referred to.
Yes.
And also it's the call of God to you as well, to a prayer life.
Yes.
Because without his help, what does the Bible say? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We literally have got. This is why God kind of like pushes us out of the nest sometimes, because he knows we got wings. We've just never used them much. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Mama Eagle will let her eaglet fall quite a distance and then scoop down and catch them on her shoulders. And that's what the Holy Ghost has done for us through the years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Depending on God for his wisdom. Because, like you said a minute ago, you were a 16-year-old. Go ahead and finish out, Scott. You had a...
Oh, yeah, just, and, you know, not just physical work, but it's a lot more spiritual of a position than you see. You know, if you step in on a youth group and there are tissues flying through the air and somebody is injured and, you know, it is a lot more spiritual than, I promise it's more spiritual than it looks, because there's so much happening, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that you are involved with in youth ministry. So that's that probably came as a shock to me. And I talked last week about, you know, the first time I went through, I was not nearly as spiritually mature. And if you're not there, it'll take a toll. The need for spiritual maturity. Let's go with that. That's my answer. Is the need for spiritual maturity is the biggest misconception, because you see all the fun, you see just the silliness, but without that real firm foundation of spirituality, you will crumble, because it's not a foundation of silliness. It's not a foundation of planning out the perfect youth outing. It is a foundation of spirituality with everything heaped up on top of it.
Are these guys lit? Give them a hand of appreciation right now. Wow. There's a lot of eloquence and richness coming. Anybody else have a thought on that? We're going to go to a different kind of question now. Any wisdom, this is open to the whole panel, any wisdom or insight gleaned in working with youth ministry that helped you in actually running your family? You got an insight because you were working in the youth ministry in a church, and you learned some things that you took and you took it home and you thought, oh my land, this works here as well. That helps me. Anybody, can you think of something? Brother Josh.
It kind of relates to what I talked about last week, telling your kids you love them. My daughter was in here. I could look at her and do this right now, and I guarantee you her response. I from time to time, I go up to her and I say, guess what? I know, Dad, you love me. And it's just a response I've gotten, you know, it's my way of telling her I love her. And it's really... With family, I was blessed because, like I said, my wife helped me in youth ministry. And so our kids were heavily involved in it pretty much the whole time, except, Elliot, I guess not so much. But my daughter, I mean, she was bounced around on probably half your kids' legs at some point. I don't even know who raised her for like the first 3 years of So some young person somewhere as she would be passed around as we were doing youth activities. But yeah, you know, you just learn to put a little bit more time. As you see in youth, the kids who didn't get that, and then all of a sudden you see the impact. Matter of fact, my dad, I got to read this scripture to you. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, my dad put this in my room when I was a young person. And it simply, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. While the evil day comes not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And my dad always would put an emphasis in our life, in my life as a young person, give everything you have right now as a young person, because one day's coming when you're not going to be able to have this moment again. And what you sow now, you know, if you sow addiction now as a young person, later on you're going to face that obstacle later. Or whatever you put in your life now as a young person, all you young people right now, you got to guard yourself now, because what you're sowing into is later on going to have a shape on your life, whether you believe it or not. And so I try now to focus on my kids with that mindset, because I know it's just like Tiger Woods. The first time he golfed was at 3 years old. Well, that's why he's so good now, because at whatever he is, 45 or whatever, he started at 3. And so we can't expect our kids to all of a sudden, when they hit 18, become great Christians. So if you start them off right and you teach them now, you know, my son, every night when we pray, it amazes me, because these pastors, I tell him, pastor all the time, he's got someone watching him, because my son raises his hand just like pastor. I mean, he can mimic him the way he raises his hand. But I love that, because it tells me he's watching and observing and learning, and he's doing it at 3 instead of trying to learn this at 18.
Amazing. Of course, he's my prayer buddy. You do know that. Elliot is my prayer buddy. Yeah, that is my affectionate handle for him. There's my prayer buddy. He knows I'm referring to him. He's the only one in the world that I call my prayer buddy. So I consider that an honor. Anybody else with this question, any insight or wisdom that you actually gleaned in youth ministry that you brought from that nest of ministry right down into your family nest? Brother Scott?
So before I answer that right, I do want to say, I ran into a weird scenario just a couple years ago where my son had, you know, he's always been good and, you know, just, you know, a fine kid or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he started just being angry for no reason and, like, just, like, screaming and mad at me all the time. And I'm like, what is going on? And then it occurred to me that he was now, like, I don't know, he was, like, 13 and a half, 14. I was like, oh, he turned into a teenager. I'm like... I was wow. Flabbergasted. I was like, when did this happen? Like, and I'm like, wait, I'm like, I've been dealing with teenagers for like the last, like his whole life. I'm like, I can handle this, right? I'm like, and it's, man, it's a little bit different when it's your own. But I mean, like, one of the things I've seen in youth ministry is, like, for real, I have young people that I get to speak into their lives, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe less than that. Maybe there's a quarantine, and who knows when we will do anything. But I have very, very little opportunity in the grand scheme of things to speak into the lives of these young people. And, you know, one of the things that I hope and pray for is parents, and I have, you know, some great parents right now, but parents that will reinforce the same kind of things, that are saying the same things and teaching the same things. And so one of the things that I've tried to do, and I know I'm not great at it, but one of the things I've tried to do is every once in a while, you know, speak into Levi's life the way that I hope that some of the other parents are speaking into their young people's lives. So it is not just me, and it's not just pastor and the Sunday school teachers. And so that we can all say the same things. And it's really cool, you know, just driving to the car or whatever, and like, I don't know, maybe Levi ask a question or something, and it break into just a tiny little Bible study. Because, you know, it is our job as parents and as the church, and, you know, everybody's trying to help out, but to train up children. Because, you know, I only have a short amount of time to speak into to everyone else's lives. And, you know, I hope I do a good job, but I hope that they are hearing the same things in their home. So I want to, I don't know, lead by example, try to train up my child as I'm trying to train up the other kids in the youth group with the little bit of time that I have.
Awesome. And because he articulated this so well in sort of a certain direction, it spins over into a question that I already had prepared. And so I'm going to offer it to the other two panelists, a question that reads like this: how can parents best help youth leaders?
I could jump on this board. And he'll remember this. When I first came here, I told him, I said, if you ever need help with money for the kids, I said, let me know. That was one of the major things. When I knew a youth rally was going on, I'd have to try to draw up some money or something to get our kids in the door or something like that. Because you would be amazed how many times I learned this. I end up paying tons of money because my kids were like, oh, I didn't bring my money, you know. Like, and so I help out if you can, you know, if you know there's a youth rally. Because I'm telling you right now, half the stuff that a youth pastor deals with, you got youth Congress, you got midwinter, all these things start adding up a lot. And if you can put right on the envelope, youth ministry, because I'm telling you, there's never enough money. They got Cheese for Christ and everything you do. And I know back even when I was a kid, because I grew up in church, you know, we had like midwinter and camp. And I don't really remember a youth rally every other day, you know. And I don't know where that started, but, and then we got these other functions, like we go out to camp even when it's not camp. And it's just all these things. I don't know how he does it. My mind would have been blown. I mean, they got everything. And so, literally, I mean, the time and everything. I mean, if you can drive even sometimes, hey, I'll drive. Or, you know, I'll be praying for, I mean, anything. Because you don't realize that is a huge, huge way. Half of the stuff he will deal with, you will never see, because it's booking hotel rooms, booking, making sure reservations get in for camp, making sure you got enough hotel rooms. It is insane. And my wife and I mean, it was literally an all the time thing, trying to prepare for the next outing.
That's probably why, you know, like Brother Sandy had ministries at the church, his job, Tiffany's job. Are there any other jobs we could get? Because we're trying to fund our youth ministry.
People don't realize I don't know what the percentage is now, but when I was youth pastor, 95% of the youth pastors are all bivocational. It's not a full-time thing. So they're working jobs, then they come and do, which is almost like a full-time. So it's a heavy load.
Woo. You know what I think's happening up here? How many of you believe in revelation? I believe there's some revelation happening here, because I believe in my heart of hearts and the pith of my being that many of us have never heard youth leaders talk like this in our lives. But you get to tonight hear them talk out of the inner sanctum of their inner being what it takes to be a success at this kind of ministry. Brother Tim, Brother Scott, did you want to add anything to?
Well, I'll just kind of like back up what he's saying, because it didn't hit me until he started talking. I was like, oh, wow. Because, like I said, I'm a giving person too, so I don't remember that stuff. But as soon as he started saying, it's like, oh, wow, he's right. Every youth event, there was always a couple of kids that didn't have the money. And I would just pay it and go on. And then I would forget to the next one. I'd be like, oh, my, how did I forget that again? Because it takes a lot sometimes to sink into me. Hey, do something in advance. But yeah. Now, you can also tell that he wasn't a nine-month youth leader either. Because he experienced it multiple times, which means he did it for years.
I think Tiffany's down there shouting right now, just worshiping the Lord. Is she... She's got memories.
But I will say, and Scott knows that if he needs something, he will come. I'm usually one of the first persons he come to because he knows that I love him for one thing, and I know what he's going through, so I will help. And I actually give on a regular basis to the youth ministry because I know that there's always expenses with the youth ministry. It's insane, but there's always something they need money for. But it's funny because it's the same way. If you have a child, you already know this. Kids always want money. It's a never ending thing. I mean, I was fortunate because I was divorced and my ex paid for a lot of stuff, so I didn't have, you know, it wasn't coming out of one household. It was two, so it was a kind of a blessing to me. But I remember that and there's always something. Now, when my daughter was in a bunch of sports and stuff too, because my ex wanted, she was living through her because she didn't have a childhood like that. So she got into everything. If there was a sport, she would do it. At least one time, Caitlin had to try it. And the money some of those sports take would blow your mind. You have no idea what it costs to go out into sports in the world. It's crazy sometimes. And the time that you have to spend with it. So, yeah, it's Josh hit that. I don't think there's anything better point to make about it than that. And Scott's probably going to back me up.
I'm living in a whole different world where all the kids have cell phones. Oh. All of them can text their parents, and their parents just electronically send me money. So that is one less thing. I mean, like, you know, the big things, you know, spending whatever, $350 for NAYC and $120 for Midwinter, like, those are big. But, like, the $5 after events, $10 after events, I get a bunch of texts coming in, like, so-and-so has sent you $10, so-and-so has sent you $20. We're like, all right, like, yes.
On a good day.
We didn't have that a few years ago. But I would say even more than money is, you know, saying the same things. Pray for your kids. Pray for the other kids in the youth group because those other kids are who your kids are hanging out with. And, you know, we've already said pray for the youth leaders. That's a big thing because, you know, you need us to stay sane as much as possible. But, yeah, and I know pastors talked about family devotions a lot. And we've done great family devotions, and we've done terrible family devotions at my house. The terrible family devotions are just where we don't do any family devotions at all. But somewhere in between there, like, you know, have a spiritual conversation with your kid. You know, ask them if they're praying. Ask them if they've read anything interesting in the Bible. Do little things like that to reinforce the message they're getting at church. And live an example, because more than anything that anybody says to them, they're watching you as parents, they're watching us as leaders. One of the things I've heard about this generation, the current young people, the Zoomers, is that they can see through falseness. I don't remember the word I'm looking for. More than anything else, they can see genuineness like it is a superpower. So if you are playing, if you are fronting, they will see it, and they know. So be authentic and be a good example. That will help me out a whole lot.
Hey, let's open this up real quick to the congregation of the Almighty. to the righteous covenant people sitting out in the, I could say pews, but that would not be the right word. Those beautiful chairs. Has a question formed in your heart that you'd like to bounce off of three or four present and past youth presidents, youth leaders? It's formed in your heart. I am hearing stuff I've never heard. This is, I don't know about you. I just get amazed at sometimes the wisdom and insight that comes out of our panelists, because they're ministering from down bone deep. All right, so here's, we're almost done. Was there any time you felt God break through, not just for the young people, but for you? He did something for you or your wife, your family, because you were working for him and you saw him bless you in some specific way, and you knew it was tied to the sacrifices that you were making for his kids.
I know two events that probably changed my life. One, we were at Youth Congress in Indianapolis. My wife will know right away what I'm going to say. We had a young lady. It was the first kid that was in our group at the time. Her name was Katie. And probably one of the hardest, most stubborn young ladies I ever met in my life. And she was just, she was a good kid, but just very stubborn when it came to church. And my wife was talking with her one time, and really trying to, we were prepping them to go into Youth Congress. And I will never forget, I believe it was on a Thursday night, we were in service, and we had been talking about getting baptized in our youth class. And had a lot of resistance from her and other situations. But on Thursday night, my wife came to me because service had erupted and just the power of God fell in that place. And my wife came to me, and I could still see her face, tears flowing down her cheeks. And she looked at me and she said, "Katie wants to be baptized tonight." And I thought, wow. And I had to think, did she just say Katie? Because I was about the last young person I would have thought in this meeting. And I'll never forget, we were on our way home and back to the hotel, and it's 1:30 in the morning. And she's adamant, "I want to be baptized right now." And I'm thinking, where am I going to baptize her? In a hotel? And the swimming pool was closed. It was outdoor, and it was locked. And then our bathtub was entirely too small. And she was just, then she starts crying because she wants to be baptized and I can't baptize her, you know. So finally, one of our young people said, "You know, we could climb the fence to the swimming pool." And we have video of this. I went out and I climbed the railing with her to that swimming pool, and we went out and
we've got to show this video at church on Sunday.
It was
I make a request.
It was freezing. Yeah. Yeah, at 1:30 in the morning we woke them up.
Oh man.
We climbed that fence though, and I'll tell you what, it was so cold. But I'll tell you what, I would not trade that night for any night. Because I got to baptize someone I really didn't think. And it was seemed like from that night, there was an explosion in our youth group.
Wow. Oh.
I think we ended up baptizing like three more young people like within a few month time period. And our youth group just got so close from that moment. And it was a changing moment in our life. And that was probably the one that would stick out in my mind the most, where I saw God do a mighty thing.
How many of you want to see that video? I make a request that you guys bring it on Sunday. Yes. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Either way. I know God was in it. That's the deal. Either way, officially, unofficially, lawfully, unlawful, whatever it was, either way, I believe that God was in it. He was. And, you know, that's what you want kids to feel like. I've got to be baptized right now. You know, we've got Letitia down here. I think she wants to be baptized right away. I'm not sure, but I think so. So be careful, because you might get wet before you get out the door. We believe in water baptism, and we believe in letting the Holy Ghost fall on people. What was that brother that was throwing the water out of that? We had to get him out of there, because just like sharing it with the world. He was so happy in the Lord. Yes, it was Brother Chris. Anything else as we wrap this up? I'll tell you what. Wow, I can't believe we can't hardly get to the end of the questions. There's just so much flowing out of these guys. And so I want to ask our ushers to soften the lights. I'm going to be asking these youth leaders to do something unusual. I'm going to share a true story, and then I'm going to ask them to stand. Not yet, but in just a minute or two. And I'm going to ask them, you remember when Moses put his hands up and Aaron and Hur held his hands up? And he put them up and he was praying over Israel that God would give them grace and power to prevail against the Amalekites in Exodus 17. I was on the phone with a young man that I'm almost kind of like a pastor to him, but he's a pastor himself. And maybe I'm only a mentor. I don't know what I am, but I'm something to him. And I called him and I said, God has been putting you on my mind for days. He repeats those words back to me of what God had been doing with him toward me. I always listen to that, because that's how the Lord often speaks to me, is he puts people's names on my heart. And so he's the gentleman I shared with last week that said they had 70 on Sundays and 8 on a particular Wednesday, so he just shut down the whole Wednesday service for a while, for 5 months, till people could realize what they were missing. Now they're going, blowing and going, right? But he told me also this true story. He got a phone call from a man who had been a pastor in their district, and he was absolutely discouraged. As a matter of fact, they stepped away from pastoring. They left the pastorate. And he called my friend, Brother John Davis, and said, look, you're the last chance we've got. We don't have anywhere else to go. And so if we could come there, but we are so done. We are so done. And there is no hope for us if we can't find a place. Would it be okay if we came to your church and just, you know, made it our home church for a while? If not, you know, in so many words, we understand. But if we can't find a place, and you're the last chance and hope we have. Well, my friend told them to come. They were absolutely exhausted. They were worn out. They were weary. They were depressed. They were like, you know, at that point, we're quitting, looked good. And he said, he began to slowly, you know, like bless them and mentor, coach, encourage, and then begin to use them in gentle ways. And now they have become two outstanding leaders in his church. As a matter of fact, the gentleman helps Pastor Davis minister on Sundays, and the wife, who was also utterly devastated and totally gone, just totally spiritually, physically gone, is now one of the leaders among the women in his church. And I'm saying that to tell you that God, the same God that did that for them, will do it for me and you. Would you lift your hands? Praise God. As Brother Thad comes to minister a little in music, and we just take a few moments to honor the King of Kings, to honor the Lord of the harvest, to honor the King. It's his ministry. It's his world. It's his church. We serve the Lord God. We serve the King. We serve at the pleasure of the Prince of Peace. He whose name is Wonderful with a capital W, whose name is Counselor with a capital C. We serve at his pleasure. And I would love for you in these few moments to plug into some freshness in God right now.